One glance was all it took. Did Mitch Dupree know, in that first skim of the contract, he was gazing at something that would irrevocably change his fortunes, send his life into a different orbit? Of course not. He was a bank compliance director, not an oracle. At that early stage, he just thought the whole thing was seriously screwed up. His predecessor, freshly retired, must have been asleep when he approved it, or dead above the shoulders. Either that, or he had knowingly committed professional malpractice serious enough to get him tossed in jail. No one with even a rudimentary understanding of U.S. banking laws could have okayed this Mexico thing. Or maybe Mitch was missing something. Yes, that had to be it. This was only his second day on the job. Once he dug a little deeper, got a few more answers, it would all make sense. So he bookmarked the matter, setting it aside for when he could give it his full focus. He was still trying to get the lay of the land. And there was a lot of land to cover. The Latin American division at Union South Bank stretched from the Mexican border to the tip of Chile, from the Rio Grande to the Strait of Magellan. There were scores of deals involving USB and its Central or South American partners spread across 19 countries, 5 time zones, and 2 continents. Mitch, as compliance director, really a one-man compliance department, was responsible for all of it. In some ways, this felt like the job he had been working toward his whole life. A dream job, is what he told his wife, Natalie. He had double majored in Spanish and international relations at Georgia Tech, cut his teeth for a few years in Coca-Cola's South American operation, then earned an MBA in finance and accounting from Emory, always with an eye on global banking. Coming out of B school, he hooked on with USB's compliance division, but on the domestic side. He worked his way up for a decade, keeping his Spanish sharp by chatting with restaurant workers and day laborers. When the opportunity finally came open to oversee compliance for Latin America, he leapt at it. It took him a few weeks to return to the thing in Mexico, which he had come to think of as the Mexican conundrum, like it was a drink with too much tequila, or a bacterial disease. By that point, he had come to understand his predecessor, Roger, had been considered old school, which in this case was a euphemism for incompetent. The guy seemed to believe not in the letter or spirit of the law, but in some antebellum code of honor whereby a gentleman didn't pry too deeply into another gentleman's affairs. Which was fine, if it was the 1810s. Since this was the 2010s, and the regulatory environment had become a smidge more demanding, Mitch needed more answers. It just made no sense. USB had established a relationship with a consortium of Mexican casas de cambio, currency exchange houses, that allowed anyone with a wad of cash, be it pesos or greenbacks, to walk in and make a deposit that, for a small transaction fee, would be routed to an account at USB. No automatic reporting of transactions above $10,000, no inquiries as to the source of the funds. No ID required beyond a sloppy signature on a deposit slip. It was a clear violation of the U.S. Bank Secrecy Act. Practically an invitation to a criminal enterprise, like, say, a Mexican drug cartel, to launder money. Because when that cash landed in an account at USB, it was instantly transformed from wrinkled and wrong to fresh and clean. You could do anything with it. Once he was sure he hadn't misunderstood what was going on, Mitch took his concerns to Thad Reiner, the vice president who directed the Latin American division, the man who hired Mitch. Reiner at first looked at him blankly like, "Yeah, and what's the problem?" In disbelief, Mitch explained their very basic obligations under the law, something it seemed incompetent Roger had never done. Banks were considered the first line of defense against illicit behavior. In most cases, they were trusted to be the only line of defense. The first rule of bank compliance was, therefore, to know your customer, a rule referenced often enough it had its own acronym, KYC. A compliance director could spend his entire life reading KYC regulations, going to KYC conferences, consulting KYC experts. This, Mitch opined, was the most epic KYC failure he had ever seen.